We turn this evening to Matthew chapter 6 and begin reading at verse 19, Matthew chapter 6. Reading from verse 19 to verse 34. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The text for this prayer day service is taken from this chapter, actually from what Jesus gives us in verse 11, teaching about prayer. He teaches in verse 11 to pray for, give us this day our daily bread. And let us take that together with what our Heidelberg Catechism teaches us on Lord's Day 50, which you can find on page 86 in the back of your Psalter, page 86 in the back of your Psalter, concerning the fourth petition. And then we hope to go to the Lord in prayer. Lord's Day 50. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care, nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Thus far. Dear congregation, it's prayer day today. But do you ever worry about where your next meal will come from? Most of us would say no. Why is that? Well, because we live in a part of the world where we have so much food. Anytime we need food, we go to our fridge, which is full, or our pantry, which is well stocked, or we go to the grocery store to get what we need. Not everyone in this world can do that. But many people in our Western world are well provided for, even in economically challenging times. We have abundance. But still, with all our abundance, people are stressed and anxious and trying to simplify their lives. You see, we can miss the simple provisions and the simple joys of everyday life because we're not living dependent on the Lord. Should we not trust the Lord Jesus, who teaches us to pray, "Give us our daily bread"? That's what you can write over the sermon. Give us our daily bread. And I want to draw several lessons as we look at this fourth petition. And the first lesson I want to draw is that the Lord cares about our daily needs and physical lives. The Lord cares about our daily needs and physical lives. Yeah, this fourth petition brings us to the second group of petitions in the Lord's Prayer. The first group of petitions have to do with God and His glory. The second group of petitions have to do with us and our needs. We often turn that around, sadly. We're often more taken up with our glory, our kingdom, our needs, instead of God's glory, God's kingdom, God's will. And so we need to be taught time and again that God comes first. God's honor comes first. God's kingdom comes first. God's will comes first. But having said that, that doesn't mean that there's no room for us to pray about our own needs. No, we may pray about our own needs, and we may bring those needs to the Lord, our spiritual needs and our physical needs. And in fact, when Jesus teaches us to pray about our needs, He mentions our physical needs first, our daily practical needs first. He teaches us to bring the needs of our bodies to Him also. And if someone is saying, "But do we not have spiritual needs too, Pastor? Don't we need our sins forgiven? And don't we need to be kept from falling into temptation? And should we not ask the Lord to deliver us from evil? Isn't that an everyday reality too?" Yes, we should also pray for forgiveness. And we should pray against temptation. But we are also to bring our physical needs to Him. And we may do that first, when we pray about us and our needs. For the Lord cares for our daily lives and our physical needs. Now I say that because some people think that some parts of our lives don't really matter to God. And they're often church people who will say, "Well, the Lord cares about what we do on Sundays, and He cares about us if we read our Bible and pray, and whether we witness to others, and if we do some Christian things, but the rest of our lives doesn't really matter to the Lord. Sunday matters to Him, but the rest of your week doesn't really matter to Him. Your work, your free time, only your heart and your soul matter to the Lord, but not the needs of your body. Your spiritual needs matter to the Lord, but not your physical needs and your daily needs at work and at school." But that's not true. Everything matters to the Lord. Of course, we should take advantage of the means of grace for the benefit of our souls. And we should love the Lord's Day. And we should take time to read our Bibles. And we should take time to pray and come to church and witness for Him. But He doesn't just care about our spiritual needs. He also cares about our daily needs and physical needs. He has made us, after all, body and soul. And He provides for us body and soul. And the Lord Jesus paid for our bodies and our souls. And a Christian belongs to Him in body and soul, as Lord's Day 1 from our Heidelberg Catechism says, and Jesus has said it, that He cares for the birds of the air. But you are much more valuable than they. He wants to see you cared for and you fed. And the flowers of the field, look at them, Jesus says. God cares for the flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow. Won't He care for you and make sure that you're clothed? See, friends, He cares about our daily needs in our physical lives. After all, He shaped our bodies in the wombs of our mothers. And He saw to it, according to Psalm 139, that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. And He cares about the sleep you get at night. Psalm 127 verse 2 says, He giveth His beloved sleep. And He cares about you getting up in the morning, and the food you eat in the morning. And He cares about you going to school, and going to work, and as you do your work. And He cares for you when you spend time with each other after work, and as families around the table, and in your free time, and in your evening routine. He cares about it all, and He wants us to care about it too, and to think of Him in every aspect of our lives. Also in the very practical and mundane things, so that, as Paul would say, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. I know some people say, you need the Lord for your soul, but you don't really need Him for your body. You need Him for conversion and faith, but not for living and working. Friends, we need the Lord for all of life, for our physical life and our spiritual life. Yes, we need Him in church life, but also in home life and in school life and in work life. We need Him for eating and drinking, and He cares about the little things in our lives, the little things in our daily lives, also when we feel overwhelmed and we feel stressed and when we have a headache. Oh, it's true. He promised rest for our weary souls. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. But He also gives rest for our bodies. He feeds our hungry souls, but He also feeds our hungry stomachs. You see, He not only cares for our souls, He also cares for our bodies. He cares about our daily lives and our physical needs. Of course, some think our daily lives and physical needs are the only thing that matter. And then you go to another extreme. Many people only have a concern for the earthly things and for temporary things and neglect spiritual things. They're concerned for their bodies, what they eat and what they drink and what they wear, and they're not concerned for their souls. And they're just living for the stuff of here and now, just concerned about what they wear, and they forget that they have a soul. We all have a soul. We must never forget that we have a soul. And Jesus says it would be dreadful if we would gain the whole world and end up losing our soul. Matthew 16, verse 26. It's not worth it. If you got everything you wanted under the sun, but you didn't have a relationship with Him who is above the sun. If you lost your soul. And that's what Jesus said. But while we must not forget the needs of our souls and that the Lord cares about our souls, neither must we forget that He cares about our daily lives and our physical needs. That's my first lesson. The second lesson that I want to draw is that the gifts of the Lord are undeserved and gracious. The gifts of the Lord are undeserved and gracious. This petition in the Lord's Prayer faces up to our unworthiness and sinfulness, for we're asking for a gift, not a payment for obedience rendered or a reward for good behavior. We don't say, Lord, pay me what Thou owest, Matthew 18:28. Lord, we deserve the food on our table. Lord, we have merited our daily bread. Lord, we have earned this. No. We pray, Lord, please give us our daily bread. Now, in our world, the word give today sounds actually like a demand. Give me that. But that's not how it's meant, of course. The Lord Jesus is teaching us that we're asking for a gift. Please gift us, Lord. Grant us, Lord. Graciously provide us, Lord, with our daily bread. That's how our Heidelberg Catechism puts it. Be pleased to provide us. You see, we don't deserve it. We're unworthy. We're coming as beggars before Him, having nothing in our hands to bring. We can't claim that we've earned it. We can't claim to have a right to it. We don't deserve it. The gifts of the Lord, including our daily bread, are undeserved. Now, I know there is a lot of talk about having rights. People will say, I have rights, you know. I have certain rights. And people feel that they have a right to a basic standard of living. They feel that they have a right to the basic things of life, even if they don't want to work, even if they don't want to lift a finger to work, and they're able to. People feel that they have a right to the food on their table and much more. People claim their rights, whether they're law-abiding citizens or not, whether they're honest or dishonest, whether they're kind or unkind, whether they're convicted criminals, murderers, or thieves. People feel they have a right to the food on their table and more. The truth is, you and I have no right to God's blessings. I don't deserve the bread that I eat every day. We don't deserve our daily food. We don't deserve anything. We're sinners who have broken God's law, rebelled against God, our Maker. The only thing that I deserve is God's punishment, God's condemnation, eternal perdition in hell. Anything but damnation is undeserved mercy. That's how Jeremiah puts it in Lamentations 3. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. You feel that? The fact that we awoke this morning speaks of the mercy of the Lord. The fact that we received food today speaks of the mercy of the Lord. Do you feel that? Are you conscious of that? That the gifts of the Lord are undeserved and gracious. That's why it is, as our catechism says, be pleased to provide us. We're asking for a gift. We don't deserve it. Be pleased to supply it, Lord. And the Westminster Larger Catechism says it more clearly, maybe, as it explains this fourth petition. There it says, we acknowledge that in Adam and by our sin... We acknowledge that in Adam and by our own sin, we have forfeited our right to all the outward blessings of this life and deserve to be wholly deprived of them by God. We have forfeited it. Do you ever feel that? We don't deserve the bread we eat. We don't deserve the air we breathe. We don't deserve the milk we drink. We forfeited it all by our fall in Adam and by our own sin and rebellion, also of today. And that's what we need to remember in prayer. Also on prayer day, 2024. This is what we need to call to mind before God in prayer. This is what we are to say before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we have no rights. whatsoever. We can only ask in mercy, gift us our daily bread. When I was studying at seminary a number of years ago, there was a student at seminary who, when you asked him, "How are you doing?" he almost always answered, "Better than I deserve." And that is fitting. Because what do we deserve? We don't deserve the bread we eat and the air we breathe. Jacob, remember what he says in Genesis 32, verse 10, "I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies." And that's why we pray, "Grant it, Lord. Be pleased to provide it, Lord. Give it out of mercy, Lord." That's our second lesson. The gifts of the Lord are undeserved and gracious. And now a third lesson. A third lesson. The Lord wants His people to depend on Him day in and day out. The Lord wants His people to depend on Him day in and day out. I know that people consciously push God out of their lives. They want to live without the Lord. And people feel that we can do everything. We have figured it out. We have new technology. We have more knowledge than they did in generations past. We can come up with new ways of producing food. Why would we need the Lord? We can do it ourselves. But then war comes, or earthquakes, or floods, or fires, or drought, or unrest in the Red Sea, and the supply chain is questioned because of some Houthi rebels, and there are delays, and certain ingredients become limited in supply. I know people want to push God out of their lives. And then something goes wrong. But then they don't turn to the Lord. No, then they say, "Well, why doesn't the government do something about this?" Right? They turn to the government. If I can't work, well, the government will take care of me. But how many examples are there not of governments badly managing their resources and failing? Friends, even for our bread, we depend on God. For our basic needs, we depend on God. It's bread. It's really a simple mixture, isn't it, of a few ingredients. Salt and flour and water and a few other ingredients, maybe. But we depend on that all from the Lord. And bread here means our most basic needs, our most basic needs of the body. Luther, and Martin Luther in his small catechism on this mentions 22 things which he sees in that little word bread. Let me mention a few of them. Food, drink, clothing, shoes, home, money, goods. He gives a whole list of 22 things of what's all meant with the word bread, and he includes shoes with it. But now, there is some discussion about what kind of bread we should be praying for. What does it mean when the Lord says, "Give us this day our daily bread"? You know, there's actually two words in this petition. There's the word "today" and "daily," but they're not the same word in the original. And this word "daily bread" is a very unusual word. Commentators and scholars are divided on what it means. There are three basic meanings. Is it bread for the next day, for tomorrow? Or is it bread for today? Or is it bread that's necessary? Origen in the 3rd century said that the gospel writer Matthew here invented a new word when he used this word. And then some years ago, researchers found a piece of papyrus around that came from around the time of Jesus with this Greek word at the top of the list, and it looked like someone's shopping list. Things that a woman would get at a store. Now, my wife is always writing lists, sometimes on paper, sometimes on a black blackboard in our kitchen, as our wives do that kind of thing, don't they? They do that for things that need to be done, but also for the list of groceries that they need to get. We've run out of soup mix. Oh yeah, let me add that to my list. We've run out of potatoes. We've run out of beans. I need to get that. Now that's the idea here. It's a list of things for today. A list of necessary things for today. It's not asking for luxury things, luxury items, not something fancy like a nice piece of jewelry, but what we need to live. And Lloyd-Jones said, our idea of what is necessary is not always God's idea. You see, because prayer is not asking for what we want, but for what we need. But the point is that we depend on the Lord completely for these things. As James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Or Psalm 104, verse 27 to 29, where the psalmist is meditating on the providence of God and saying that all creatures depend on the Lord for their daily food, and He opens His hand to feed them, and if God turns from them, their very breath would be taken away, and they would die and return again to the dust. Friends, in this petition, the Lord wants His people to depend on Him day in and day out. And do you know yourself dependent upon the Lord? Or are you not looking to Him day by day? Are you not depending on Him moment by moment? Are you depending more on your strength and more on your smarts and just depending on yourself? Friends, should we not depend on Him completely? For the breath that we receive, for the food that we eat, for health and strength, and also for our shoes. And should we not depend not only completely on Him, but continually on Him? Yes, because there is that other word in this petition, give us this day our daily bread. The Lord Jesus wants us to ask for today. We don't ask for a year's supply or a month's supply or a week's supply, but for a day's supply. We pray the Lord for today's bread. He wants us to live one day at a time. He wants us to keep coming back to Him each day again. Like the story I heard of a son who got married and moved out of the house in the same town as his family, and his father was a baker. And after his son was married, the father would come every day to drop off a loaf of bread. And when the son said, "But Dad, you don't have to come every day. You can give me a few loaves at a time. That way you don't have to come every day." And the father said, "But son, I want to see you every day." That's it. You see, it's about an ongoing relationship with the Lord. And that has something to say, doesn't it, for our devotional life and our praying for meals. Is there a sense of dependence on the Lord? Are we turning to Him every day again? Because it doesn't speak well of us, like it would not speak well of if a son is still living at home and says, "Mom and Dad, just give me a month's supply of food. Just put it in my fridge in my room. I'll just eat on my own." That wouldn't speak of a good, loving relationship between parents and son. And you see, the Lord wants an ongoing relationship, a relationship in which we keep coming back to Him every day. I mean, He could easily provide for us now for the rest of our lives. But that would not be good for us spiritually. And of course, this is a good test, isn't it? If you could have all that you needed for the rest of your life now, or if you're good, just to keep coming back to the Lord every day, and you're looking to Him for the stuff of today, what would you pick? Lord, give me everything that I want, Lord, I want to depend on Thee day in and day out. The one is what the prodigal son won. Give me the stuff that falleth to me. And he went off into a far country. We reveal a lot about ourselves by how we live. And if there is dependence on Him and a relationship of love, the Lord wants His people to keep coming back to Him day in and day out. Ask Him what you need every day. I mean, that's how the Lord cared for the people of Israel in the wilderness. Every day He gave fresh manna. If they tried to keep that manna for the next day, except for the Sabbath, it would rot. Or think of Elijah at the brook Cherith. The ravens came and brought bread and meat every morning and every evening. And when the prophet came to the widow of Zarephath, then in that home they only had supplies anew for each day. And so we are to go to the Lord today, with our needs of today, with our burdens of today, and to ask for His help today. And we don't need to start worrying about tomorrow and the distant future. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need to make plans for the future. It is good to make plans. Joseph did that in the years of plenty. In fact, he made a 14-year plan. There would be plenty, but there would also be poverty. It's good to plan. But Jesus is saying we don't need to worry about the future. Now, I know it's easy to fret, and it's easy to worry about the stuff of tomorrow, but the Lord Jesus says, don't do that. Don't be anxious about the things of tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day or the evil thereof. Why would you get worked up about the things that may or may not happen tomorrow? And the Lord who cares for you today will also care for you tomorrow. And He who strengthened you today will also strengthen you tomorrow. And He who helped today will also help you there and then. And some of you may need to hear that, because you may be passing through trying providences and difficult times. You have burdens to carry. Friends, the Lord wants you to live one day at a time. Depend on Him as you go through each day. Depend on Him in the morning. Depend on Him in the afternoon. Depend on Him in the evening. Depend on Him hour by hour, moment by moment. Tomorrow's needs, He'll supply for you, but you don't need to worry about the today. You see, worry is what marks the heathen. And that's understandable, because the heathen don't have the Lord to depend on. They don't have the Lord to comfort them. But you do, if you've learned to trust in the Lord Jesus by the grace of the Holy Spirit. If you've turned to Him with your needs of body and soul, aren't we to trust Him every day again? In 1865, Lena Sandell put it like this: day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what He deems best, lovingly its parts of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Strength I find day by day. And Lena Sandell, she knew what she was talking about. I mean, she had watched her father, who happened to be a Lutheran pastor, fall off a boat as the boat lurched forward while they were crossing a lake, and he drowned before her eyes. Day by day, He wants you and me to keep coming back to Him again and again, day in and day out. Well, now I want to come to my fourth lesson. The first lesson is that the Lord cares about our daily needs and physical lives. The second lesson is that the gifts of the Lord are undeserved and gracious. The third lesson is the Lord wants His people to depend on Him day in and day out. And now the last lesson. The Lord wants us to remember the needs of others. The Lord wants us to remember also the needs of others. For He teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." He doesn't teach us to pray, "Give me this day my daily bread." Of course, you may think about yourself and pray about your needs, but you're not the only one with needs. And when Jesus teaches this, it's not just that He's trying to say in our individualistic societies that more meals should be eaten together. In a world where our meals are eaten in the car and on the road, we should take time to enjoy meals together. Now that too. The most enjoyable meals are the ones enjoyed together. Young couples certainly know that. But the point here that He is making is, don't just think about yourself. Yes, you need daily bread. You need strength. You need help, but others do too. There are many who struggle every day for survival. Some go to bed hungry. Others suffer from malnutrition. They don't know how they will be fed day by day. And if we know of such needs, shall we not remember them and seek to help them where we can? I mean, John says in his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 17, "If we shut up our bowels of compassion to someone in need, how dwelleth the love of God in us?" If we're just concerned for ourselves and not concerned for others, it means that we don't know the love of God in our souls. The Lord wants us to think of others, others who also need food and have other needs. In the words of Galatians 6, verse 2, "Carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." And then a few verses later in Galatians 6, verse 10, it says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them which are of the household of faith." Excuse me. We need to learn, as C.H. Spurgeon put it, the selflessness and sympathy with the household of faith. We should feel care and concern for one another, also for those who may be neglected or lonely. And do we? Do we think about others? Do we care about others? Do our hearts go open to the needs of others? Do you have room in your heart for others? Or do you only think about yourself? Jesus teaches us, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now let me say one more thing. As we think about our daily needs, should we not also think about eternity? Yes, we may ask for our daily needs and our daily bread today, your physical needs that you have today, but remember, you have more than physical needs. You have also spiritual needs. You don't just have a body. You also have a soul. And you may be here today, but you don't know if you'll be here tomorrow. This day may be the last day you get. And you need more than food and clothing, and more than drink and shoes. You need more than a home. Today, you need a home for tomorrow. I mean, you need an eternal home in the Father's home. And you need to prepare for that. Time when you will replace time for eternity. Is that not why He gives you your daily food? So that you can prepare for eternity. So that you can prepare for the life to come. And don't you need to think about that, those of you who are still unconverted? who don't have a saving interest in the Lord Jesus Christ, who've never fled as a needy sinner to Him. Don't you need to think about that? You have a soul for eternity. And you don't know if this is the last day of grace you'll receive. You don't know if today you actually had your last meal already. You don't know what a day may bring forth. Yes, we may pray for bread for today, but that in order to be reconciled to God and to live in dependence on God, but you can't postpone that. You need to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. And what a terrible existence it would be just to live for the here and now, just to satisfy your appetite and fill your stomach so every once in a while, but not to seek the salvation of your soul in Christ. Friends, this petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," is also meant to make us think of eternity. And one day, He will give us the bill for our daily bread. Yes, the bill. Maybe someone says, "But Pastor, I've always paid the price of the goods I took from the grocery store. I've always paid the baker for the bread I've bought." Yeah. But God will one day give you a bill. Did you use the food I gave you for my honor and my glory? With the food I gave you and the clothes I clothed you with, did you serve me? Did you follow me? Did you live a life depending on me? That's what He expects, that we trust in Him, live for Him, and thank Him. Yes, in union and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, dependent on the Holy Spirit. But now let's be honest, how often do we not take His good gifts for granted? And we assume we'll have more tomorrow. How often are we not content just to fill our tummies and not praise the Lord? Don't we need, on this prayer day, mercy that comes through the cross of the Lord Jesus? I mean, He's the one who teaches this petition. And He modeled it in His life. Remember, with the crowds of people hungry, ready to collapse, He fed the more than 5,000, taking the bread, lifting up His eyes to heaven, giving thanks, and handing it out. And He still does that today. That's why you had food on your table today, because of His handing it out. And remember, in the upper room, He took bread. And when He had broken it, He said, "Take, eat, remember, and believe." And He went to the cross. And He suffered hunger. And He cried out, "I thirst." He who was rich became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. He bore the curse to give you the blessing if you learn to trust in Him. He bore the curse in order to feed us with the bread that fills our bodies and the bread of life that fills our souls. That should lead us to prayer, don't you think? And to praise. Let God be praised with reverence deep. He daily comes our lives to steep in bounties freely given. Amen.